Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. It's the NFL Conference Championship Weekend. Mike Center in Detroit. James Salinas joins us from Denver, Colorado. And in the VSiN studios in Las Vegas, it's Wes Reynolds. Let's talk NFC Championship game for a moment, guys. Aaron Rodgers most certainly is a presumptive Hall of Famer. But he's just 1-3 in the NFC Championship. While Tom Brady will play for his 10th trip to the Super Bowl, let's talk this matchup at Lambeau Field in Green Bay coming up tomorrow. The Packers are the favorite over the Buccaneers. Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady. There has to be a little bit of pressure on Rodgers, James, to get it done and get the Packers back into the Super Bowl and add another title to his resume.
Yeah, and for sure. I mean, especially the way they performed the last two. Well, think about the last three. I heard that Seattle game, just a total collapse in that NFC Championship game up in Seattle. And then the last two games with against Atlanta and last year against San Francisco, just completely getting blitzed. Really, just from a whole team standpoint, Rodgers aside, just felt like really just not a lot of competitive fire and a lot of pushback. So that's the one. I still like Green Bay at laying the three here in this match. But that's the one thing that I always had in the back of my mind, just remembering the last few years of how they performed in those conference championships. But in this point here, offensively, this is a different team offensively. They're much more, as far as the ability to run the football, and not that they need to take pressure off Aaron Rodgers and his throwing prowess, but ultimately, anytime you have the ability to run the football, now that they're healthy and deep at the running back position, they can come at you from a number of different ways when they run the football. They can run outside, they can bang you up the middle, and the bigger piece here is the short yardage game. Let's say you're in a third and three, third and four situation, it's not necessarily always have to be in Aaron Rodgers' hand to make the throw. Also, end down when we get into the red zone, in particular inside the five-yard line. When you have the ability to hammer the football there, it really opens up the playbook because it puts a lot more pressure on the defense because they're thinking about Aaron Rodgers and his passing acumen. But the fact that you can pound the football in a variety of ways really helps not only extend the drives, but it really just puts more pressure on the defense. So I think pressure here more so. If you want to think about pressure, yeah, there's probably pressure on Rodgers. He's the face of the franchise there and has been for the last, basically the last 15 years and just one Super Bowl to show for it, where I think the expectations are much higher than that. But and from this standpoint here, I think the actual pressure is going to be on that Tampa Bay defense, Wes, because I think now they've really been able to diversify the offense for the Packers.
Yeah, and you look at Tampa Bay, and I have not made a play yet. If I do, on the side, rather, I'm looking more at the Green Bay side. Because if you look at Tampa Bay, even last week against New Orleans, I believe 324 yards, 5.1 a play. So, you know, Tampa Bay, even though they've scored a lot of points, last week it was predicated upon the four turnovers against Breeze, but like the offense, I don't want to call it pedestrian because it's certainly well above average, but it doesn't seem like that juggernaut that maybe they're priced as such as being. Go back to week one when they played New Orleans, just 310 yards, 4.8 yards a play, and I'm talking kind of against elite teams. 324 rather against Green Bay, 5.1. Recall Green Bay in that week six matchup got out to a 10-0 lead, and then it was all Tampa once they got that pick six. That really turned the game, and they ended up winning 38-10. So it's not like Tampa Bay, they've been good offensively, but against the really elite teams, they haven't been a juggernaut. Now, against a Green Bay team, this is not going to be a team that can absolutely just get pressure necessarily with their front four, like maybe a New Orleans could, or even Washington football team, which I thought actually Tampa was more impressive in that game than they were last week in the divisional round, despite the fact that the WFT was 7-9. They didn't get a mitt on Tom Brady. They were able to hold them off and had 500 yards against a very good defense. But yeah, I just look at Green Bay in this spot. This is actually a very important game for Rodgers' legacy. And as Mike said, look, he's going to be a lock Hall of Famer, win or lose here. But this is going against Tom Brady, who, based on his success, is the measuring stick of quarterback in this league. I believe this is his 14th conference championship game in his career. Obviously, 13 of them, all 13 being in the AFC with New England. But this is a big one for Rodgers. I do think that this really means a lot to him, and therefore it's probably going to mean a lot to his teammates, because his teammates are going to know how important this is to him to get one here on Tom Brady, on the legend here. And I likely will, if I'm on a side, will be on the Green Bay side. I'm interested in the total two. The lean would be to the over, simply because I think I want to wait for it to come down if there's snow up there, and then bettors kind of look at that snow and be like, oh, this is going to be, you know, a slobber knocker, or a slog type of game here. But as I talked about in the first hour, I call them snowvers, because you oftentimes can bet the overs in this snow, because defensive backs lose footing. And James made that point, I thought a very salient one, in the first hour, where it's like the receivers know where they're going before the defensive backs and the safeties know where the receivers are going in terms of the passing game down the field. So you often will have defensive backs lose their footing if there's snow on this field, which is going to favor the offense. The only way I would look at the under is if there's any type of substantial wins, you know, kind of in the mid-teens or above. Anything below that, I think, relatively benign. So Packers would certainly be my lean. I did not lay the early three. I have not gotten involved on the side. Just a couple props for me so far.
Winter weather advisory for Green Bay, Wisconsin. 2 to 4 inches of snow expected by noon on Sunday. Temperature in the 20s, winds north-northwest at 7 miles an hour for the Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Steve McAdam in this week's Point Spread Weekly points out wild card teams that were a 5 or a 6 seed, 3-9 straight up, 4-8 against the spread in the conference championship game, including 1-6 straight up and against the spread in the last 10 years. Tampa Bay, of course, the number 5 seed in the NFC. Some best bets for you. Mike Palm likes the Packers laying $1.75. Adam Chernoff, Packers laying 3.5 and over 51. Chuck Gettle likes the Bucks at plus 3.5. In the AFC championship game, which will be the early game on Sunday, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Buffalo Bills, and Josh Allen, who James Salinas has really fine-tuned his game this year, has grown into the role as Buffalo's quarterback and has them in the AFC Championship game, winners of 8 consecutive.
Yeah, and just playing with so much confidence, and I think that's just it. He's much more comfortable now, and you'll see that, obviously, as a rookie coming in and being thrust into the starting lineup. It takes some time. What we've seen out of Mahomes, that's not the norm for quarterbacks coming into the league, where they just step right in, and it's such a comfort zone for them and their ability to make plays and then be as successful as Mahomes has. But right now, Josh Allen is starting to feel that too, especially, obviously, for this year, and the way that they've been able to throw the football and the talent that's around them is really the creative play calling and the play designs. That's what's been so interesting to see the Bills evolve collectively, not only Josh Allen, but also from their offense that we're used to seeing just a couple years back. So this game here, I think that there's going to be points aplenty in this game, and the total's high. I haven't played the total. I did play the side with the Chiefs laying the 3, and we all suspected Mahomes is going to play, which he will, and yeah, that foot may be bothering him, but he'll be able to adjust throwing the football based on just all the different angles and his ability to throw off different. He's been able to throw off his back foot. It's just a really special player. But the only concern I have for Josh Allen coming into this game now, he's got plenty of talent to throw the football to, along with Diggs has been spectacular. But now it's the AFC Championship game. What is the moment, the gravity of the moment? Really, ultimately, I know teams will talk about that. Every year, our goal is to go win the Super Bowl, et cetera. But realistically, there's only a handful of teams that ever get there and realistically can go win it. pressure of the moment. What is that going to feel like? The gravity of the situation once they finally step out on the field and realize that you've got your counterpart Mahomes in that awesome offense for the Chiefs. I've got to be able to make plays. I've got to play a clean game. And I think that's just it. The Bills are not a team that wants to fall behind to that Kansas City Chiefs team here. Not more so from a psyche standpoint, I think, Wes. But ultimately, I think there's going to be plenty of plays to make. I think the Bills are going to come out very aggressive. They didn't really expect to, at least we didn't, I didn't expect them to be here when the start of the season commenced back in September. Tremendous job all the way around as far as the coaching staff goes to build up Josh Allen. But kid's got talent. He can make all the throws. Tremendous arm. Has the ability to make plays outside the pocket and escape out of there with his feet. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch, but I usually don't get involved, Wes, with the total once I've bet a side. In this case, since I bet Kansas City, I'm not going to be betting a total or any of the, I have a number of props, but I'm not going to be betting the total in this matchup.
Yeah, ditto for me here. I actually laid money line with Chiefs here, and I'll do that usually on a favorite of three or less. Go ahead and just lay that money line and take a point spread out of play. Just looking at Buffalo, what we've seen in the playoffs, and I know they've been the red hot team and have won every game since week 11 when they got that bye after they lost on that last play, the Hail Mary play against the Arizona Cardinals where Hopkins made that catch in the middle of three guys. But you look at Buffalo and what they've done in the playoffs, they've been out-yarded in their first two playoff games. They got out-yarded minus 75 against Indianapolis and then minus 120 last week against Baltimore, who was able to move the ball and get into the red zone. But that 100-yard interception, that pick six near the end of the third quarter, was basically the momentum shifter in the game and pretty much made it a wrap for the Buffalo Bills to move on from that standpoint. And we look and we know Kansas City kind of had a close shave last week, and Cleveland certainly had their chances at the end. Keep in mind, Kansas City did lead 19-3 at the half over the Cleveland Browns, and also Butker. Butker is kind of a key here and worries you a little bit on the Chiefs side because he did miss a field goal and an extra point last week, and he's missed plenty of extra points, well over double digits this season. But Kansas City, in spite of the fact that they had 2 weeks off, because recall, they did not play week 17. The starters certainly didn't against the Chargers, hence why Kansas City closes like a six-point underdog at home in Arrowhead. But they didn't show that rust in the first half. I mean, to be up 19-3 on a Cleveland team that certainly has gotten more potent offensively later in the season. And I think, look, if Mahomes doesn't get hurt, is that a close five-point win at the end? Maybe not. Maybe you've got Kansas City winning by about double digits. So, look, Kansas City 6-0 against winning teams this year. 169 yard per gain advantage on the plus side. And you look at their stat margins against some of the best teams in the league, plus 289 yards at Baltimore, plus 260 yards in the week six meeting at Buffalo, 126 yards to the plus at Tampa, 81 yards to the plus at Miami, 126 to the plus at New Orleans, and 130 yard advantage last week against Cleveland. Five of those games, by the way, were on the road. So, you know, there's times where we've kind of said, okay, Kansas City's just a little disinterested here, and they're not covering these big numbers because a lot of times they're near or at or more than double-digit favorites. But I think that that leads to value on this Kansas City side, hence why James and I think are both on the small chalk here, because I still think even with Mahomes not at 100%, I still think this should probably be about 4.5. I mean, not substantially higher than 3, but certainly I think you're getting a little bit of a bargain basement price here on the Chiefs.
Gil Alexander, Matt Eumanns, like Kansas City laying 3 as well, Wes, and Matt Brown, Bills plus 3.5. Pauly Howard likes a prop bet. Longest field goal under 46.5 yards. Patrick Mahomes has cleared the NFL's concussion protocol. He says his toe is feeling a lot better. Better. Weather, mid-30s, winds out of the northeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills in the AFC title game on Sunday. Michael Lombardi earlier this week said he feels like the Bills haven't played their best game in the postseason. That could be a great time for Buffalo
to really show what they can do tomorrow in the AFC Championship game. Brooklyn Nets laying 7 at home against the Miami Heat. The Heat are 2-5 against the road. Brooklyn, well, they were whipped in back-to-back games, gave up an awful lot of points. 272 points in their two losses at Cleveland. Brooklyn not quite gelling right now with that big three matchup there, James Salinas. Brooklyn laying 7 today at home against Miami.
Yeah, and I won't be playing them in any fashion until we start to see them. I think Durant may be back tonight, so I want to see with the, let's just call them the big three with Irvin, Harden, and Durant. I want to see how they mesh, not only on the defensive, on the offensive side, but also team defensive-wise. Really haven't shown much interest to do anything on that end of the floor. But, you know, these games, what do they matter at this point? It's regular season. It's still early in the season. But I think offensively, that's going to be what's going to be interesting. Thing is, we've seen Kyrie coming back the last two games and really dominate the ball. He has the ability to score at all three levels on the court, but how are they going to mesh out there? I think eventually they'll figure those things out, but until they do, it's not a team that I want to back, especially because they're going to be laying consistently big numbers. Another big number here, and I guess rightfully so. You're playing Miami, and unfortunately for Miami, this is going to be their fifth game in 8 days. Talk about a team who's been decimated through injuries and COVID. It is the Miami Heat. Now, nobody's been lost for the season. They will get all of these players back eventually, but just going through, like a number of other teams right now, really having to grind through early season COVID issues, and it's been a challenge for them. But we've seen them at least compete, but I think roster-wise, just don't have the talent to be able to match up with a team like the Nets scoring-wise tonight. But ultimately, I'm not going to play Brooklyn until I see some more games played with the big three.
We'll get you up to date on what's happening in college basketball with Wes Reynolds when Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, continues on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Pegasus World Cup is today, and that means two new episodes of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. The Handicapper's pop-up features Las Vegas bookmakers and horse players Chris Andrews, Johnny Avello, Dwayne Colucci, and Vinny Maiulo. The regular episode offers local knowledge about Pegasus from Gulfstream Park TV, plus an interview with Ed Musselman on why he stopped publishing the controversial Indian Charlie newsletter. Subscribe free to get every episode automatically, or look for the Ron Flatter Racing Pod at vsin.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in Detroit, Wes Reynolds is at the VSiN studios in Las Vegas, and James Salinas is in Denver. And Wes, if you were on Creighton and the points, it was a tough break for you today.
Yeah, it did close at 8.5. UConn gets within the number late, 74-66, your final score in Omaha. It was 9 here on the close at BetMGM, 8.5 in a lot of places at the market. Game does squeak over the total late of 138.5, and UConn, the underdog, gets in there. I didn't play that one. James Bocknight has been out. UConn's really their best player and scorer, has been out the last couple games, so I stayed away. It was also kind of a bounce-back spot for Creighton off that home loss the other night against Providence. So 74-66 your final score, and then a couple early finals. Houston covers yet again. They've been a machine in the AAC. 68-51 they get there over Temple, as Kelvin Sampson's defense putting the clamps on really this entire conference. And then Kansas mild upset, depending on your number. Oklahoma was actually favored at BetMGM, 75-68, your final score there in Norman, Oklahoma. Kansas now two losses in a row on the road. One matinee here in hockey, just another goal for the Blue Jackets. 2-1 here early on, just 10 minutes into the first period. Early afternoon matchup at the Nationwide Arena. Columbus trying to sweep Tampa Bay here in the back-to-back series.
20th-ranked Clemson has struggled through back-to-back blowout losses. They're on the road at Florida State today. They're the 6.5-point road dog, a total of 135 at the Donald L. Tucker Center in Tallahassee. Wednesday, they lost 83-65 to Georgia Tech. That was in Atlanta. And in the January the 16th, their last outing prior to that, they dropped an 85-50 decision to Virginia. Clemson struggling right now, James Salinas, and they're a 6.5-point dog at Florida State.
Well, and again, these are why this is another team that had to go through. They had an 11-day layoff due to COVID, and so not only playing games but not practicing, as well as not exactly sure who's going to be available and what kind of shape they're going to be in to play these games. And I think we've seen that sometimes these teams come off from these layoffs and they're fully healthy and they're excited to get out there and play. And other times, just like you said with Clemson, I mean, this is a very defensive-minded team. They're very good at home, especially on the defensive end. They played when they came back last week against Virginia, just got completely blitzed. They have 85 points to Virginia, which, yeah, Virginia's been shooting the ball much better from three, but ultimately they weren't able to put anything. I know Virginia could play some good defense too, but suspected that would be a really kind of a slugfest, and it was anything but. And I think that's where, well, are they going to bounce back against Georgia Tech? Same thing again, give up 83 points to the Yellow Jackets. And so you just don't know how teams are going to respond when they have some of these extended layoffs. So in this case here, now you're going to have to go down to Florida State. You know, Clemson beat Florida State by 10 back about a month ago. So this game's going to be on national TV. It's an ABC game. Right now, Florida State has got, they're back fully healthy. They've got their roster intact. They're putting points up on the board. They're putting, this is roughly scoring 80 plus points a game. So their scoring acumen could be inside. It could be outside. Tremendous talent as always down there. It's just kind of their acumen to be able to close out games in the second half. But in this case, it is a big number here to lay. I probably won't lay it with Florida State, but right now with the where Clemson's at this point, just not sure what we're going to see out of them due to the COVID layoff. It's not a game that I'm going to play, and I just can't back that dog, even though I would like the spot.
Yeah, I like the side Florida State, but I don't like the number because I think it is. Big game ABC, Dickie V in the house, his house in Sarasota, Florida, by the way, calling this one. But Florida State's been on a roll lately. Winning three in a row here, so I like them. They were off for 2 weeks, so I think Florida State, actually the last loss was at Clemson on December 29th, and then they've won three in a row. They beat NC State, beat Carolina, impressive win on Monday at Louisville. So Florida State looks like the side here, but the number's a little too high for me.
Alabama's been red hot of late, but is it a mirage? We'll talk the Crimson Tide when Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, continues on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for the NFL Conference Championship weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 per month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Sennett. James Salinas is in Denver. Wes Reynolds of the VSiN studios in Las Vegas. Alabama's won eight consecutive games on the hardwood and they've won 9 of 10. But some folks on VSiN throughout the week have said, well, they have been impressive of late, but they have yet to really play any challenging opponents. They have had major wins, impressive victories. Recently, a blowout win over Arkansas, 90-59, and they really handled LSU on the road in Baton Rouge, 105-75. Today, they're laying 9.5 at the Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa against Mississippi State. And James Salinas, Alabama, moving up in the polls at number 18. They are currently number 11 in the KenPom. They're a heavy favorite today against Mississippi State.
Well, if you like to watch points being put up on the board, that's the team to watch, is the Alabama offense. I mean, I think they average a shot up every 14 seconds per possession. So, I mean, they get out there, they are pushing the pace, and they look to score and look to score quickly, and they have the ability to shoot the ball. And I think they're averaging about 13 threes made per game. So, obviously, anytime you can make that many three-pointers per game, that's going to increase your odds to put big points on the board, which they're doing. But it's really the tempo. It's really the pace. John Petty is still there. It feels like John Petty's been at Alabama for like the last decade, but he's obviously leading the team. But it's not just him. I mean, they've got a plethora of scoring opportunities and plenty of playmakers, especially off the dribble, and be able to drive and kick and hit to open shooters. You know, Ben Howland there at Mississippi State, this is going to be a style of contrast. I think we're all familiar with Howland and his acumen to try to slow teams down, and I think it's easier to slow teams down than it is to speed teams up. But I mean, Bama's going to play full court pressure all over the court, trying to get Mississippi State to get engaged with that type of offense, and that's not the shootout that they want to play in. But that's a big number. I'm not really apt to lay these types of big numbers, especially within conference games. But right now, the way that Alabama's been playing, Wes, I like taking dogs in these situations within the conference. But for me, I can't find a way to take Mississippi State with how hot Alabama has been, especially from the three-point line.
Yeah, the tide are certainly rolling, and I might be getting in front of a freight train here. I did take 11 here with Mississippi State. This is down to 9.5, which means there's got to be some pro money on the Mississippi State side, because Alabama is a team that have won 8 in a row. They're undefeated in SEC play. They've got a win at Tennessee, which is a super impressive win. They drilled Florida at home. They beat Kentucky in Rupp by 20 after Kentucky, I think, had won 3 straight games. Then they pounded Arkansas. They pounded LSU in Baton Rouge by 30 the other night. And yet the line is going against them. And I think one of the reasons why is because this is that kind of fat and happy spot I talk about. You get these ranked teams, and they've won several in a row. And now you get maybe a little bit of a dead spot game, because this is the worst opponent that they have going to play so far in SEC play, because all the opponents are rated higher in a lot of the power ratings and a lot of the KenPoms and all of those ratings ahead of them. So now you get a Mississippi State team at home that you should lay over, but this is a contrast in styles, like you mentioned, James, and the fact that Ben Howland is kind of zigging when everybody else is zagging, in terms of a lot of pace and space, shoot a lot of threes, perimeter-oriented teams. Well, Ben Howland is playing through the post, which is kind of a lost art, really, in all of basketball, but especially in college basketball. And he's got a lot of size. He's going to slow down the tempo. Obviously, Alabama on the higher end in terms of tempo, Mississippi State on the lower end. But now Alabama has played so many big games in a row, starting with the win at Tennessee, and then they beat a Florida team that's usually nationally ranked. State rival game, they went on the road at Auburn. Then they go to Kentucky, who's the premier program historically in the conference, and beat them. Arkansas is also a geographical rival, as is LSU. Now you get Mississippi State, who's a rival, but maybe less of a pronounced one, because then Alabama gets Kentucky coming into their place, and you're always going to get up for Kentucky, even though they're a little bit down this year at 4-8, certainly off to a shaky start. Then they have that SEC Big 12 matchup going to Oklahoma here next Saturday, so you're going to get up for that because you want to measure yourself against other conferences to prove, okay, hey, we're the best conference. We play the best basketball in the country in our league. So I think this Mississippi State game is kind of a dead spot, and I think it's being bet accordingly, seeing it down to 9.5. So I do like the Bulldogs. I'm at least getting the better of the number, but that's half the battle. We got to do our jobs as bettors and get the best of the number and get some closing line value. And then the teams we bet on got to handle their business. So halfway home, at least, on Mississippi State.
Alabama ranks number 12 of the country tempo-wise, according to Ken Palm, 74.5 possessions per 40 minutes. Mississippi State, 318th, 65.5 possessions per 40 minutes. It'll be a battle of contrasting styles. Alabama, the 9.5-point home favorite against Mississippi State at the Coleman Coliseum. That is coming up later today. Deshaun Watson, according to the Miami Herald, does not want to play for the Miami Dolphins, or at least that is not his first choice. And surprisingly, James Salinas, his first choice, or one of his preferred destinations, hold on to your hat, the New York Jets. Deshaun Watson to the Jets. How interesting would that be?
Well, I think he wants to. He really wanted Robert Saleh to be at least interviewed and really the head coach there at Houston and a few other candidates. But right now, I mean, what a mess that franchise has been. I mean, this is all the aftermath of Bill O'Brien wearing multiple hats there and really all the trades that they made because they're really devoid of their draft acumen right now. They're struggling when it comes to their draft capital, and this is what it's kind of come to now. Deshaun Watson signs the big contract, and now he's got the leverage. I would be surprised if he leaves the Texans, because ultimately I feel like they got to do a ton of damage control. He's a tremendous player. That is the face of your franchise. I don't care what these other teams are offering as far as a package or a trade deal. If you're the Houston Texans, you cannot let Deshaun Watson leave your franchise.
Yeah, you got to think it's going to be tough for him to walk. But then when you're hearing what Houston's doing with the interview, Josh McCown, who I believe will be a good head coach in this league someday, no real coaching experience, and they're interviewing him. So it's a complete mess down in Houston.
Betting Across America continues after this on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With BetMGM for a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Conor McGregor to win against Dustin Poirier. Just use the bonus code VSIN100 and get in the ring with the king to take advantage of this offer. Download the app and make your bet with the bonus code VSIN100 today. Paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER. Gambler, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios at the South Point in Las Vegas. And Wes, give us an update on what's happening right now in college basketball.
Yeah, halftime now in Chapel Hill between the Wolfpack and the Tar Heels. North Carolina up 10 on NC State, 43-33. Second half prices are about to come out, seeing 1.5 for the second half on Carolina, 79.5 half on the total. Also, we mentioned that Baylor-Oklahoma State game. Oklahoma State certainly hanging in there and actually winning it, the under 4 minute timeout. Currently 26-24 over the Baylor Bears. Of course, we did mention that Cade Cunningham, the star player for Oklahoma State, likely to be the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft, is not going today for Oklahoma State, but they're putting together a solid effort against Baylor going forward, up by two in the television timeout. And also, Maryland up 33-23 on Minnesota with about a minute 15 to go. Minnesota was a 7-point favorite, and this is kind of that transitive handicapping, because we recall this same Minnesota team beat Michigan pretty handily, and then Michigan on Tuesday night beats this Maryland team pretty handily. So it begs the question, okay, then Minnesota is going to crush Maryland, right? No, you go the opposite way here, and so far so good. Terps up 33-23, laying 2.5 on the end game, 136.5 at BetMGM. Florida and Georgia at the under 4 minute timeout in the first half. Florida up 36-32 on the Georgia Bulldogs. Florida minus 5.5, 164.5 the current total at BetMGM. And also just underway, Providence and Villanova all tied at 4 or 5 minutes into the game.
Utah's won 7 consecutive games. The Jazz laying 7.5 at home against Golden State today in the NBA. Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell called out by Shaquille O'Neal. A bit of a feud going there. He's not impressed with those two players for Utah, but they just keep winning games. They have won 7 straight. It'll be interesting to see if Utah continues to play with a chip on its shoulder, James Salinas.
Well, I think regardless of whatever Shaq, that post-game conference there with Inside the NBA, Donovan Mitchell, I'd say, all right, Shaq, why don't we have a free throw shooting contest and see who's going to take that one down. But the Jazz, here's one of the teams, I do this with a lot of sports, and obviously with COVID, it's very important because of lack of practice time, preparation time. Try to stay away from teams that had a lot of turnover on their roster, personnel-wise, and or the coaching staff. And we're talking about the Utah Jazz. This team basically is the same team that got knocked out by the Nuggets in the bubble. So they've already been together. They know who they are. They know how to play together. And really, it's a three-point shooting team. Yeah, Gobert is the big fella, but they don't play through the post. They don't get a lot of paint touches to try to score. They spread the floor. It's a drive and kick team. They have both with Conley and Mitchell being able to take folks off the dribble, draw, drive, dish, open up the floor, knock down shots. They're shooting the ball very well. Had a lot of road games early to start the season. Now they're sitting back at home and feeling good about themselves, feeling very comfortable shooting the basketball. They're shooting about 40% from the three-point line and playing a Warriors team. I think we saw the other night, I did have the Knicks in that first half. I thought it was kind of a flat spot for Golden State after coming back-to-back wins over conference. I guess you could call them a rival when you're talking about the Lakers and the Spurs. Now you're playing a bad Knicks team, but that was then having Draymond Green getting thrown out as well. And I think you see the importance, and they've talked about it from the standpoint of Draymond Green coming there and really being that facilitator. He's not trying to shoot the ball and keep up with the scoring acumen that we've seen out of the Warriors in years past. He's playing more of the veteran role now, trying to take Wiseman under his wing and be a leader for him. I don't know how receptive Wiseman has been to that so far, but at least for Draymond Green being back, being on the court offensively, he's looking to distribute. So I didn't make a play on the side here, but I did play the assist. I did play Draymond Green over 6.5 assists. I got it at even money as well. That's really where his game is. He is trying to get others involved. I think you seeing him off the floor in that second half, how they really fell apart. I think him coming back, they're very conscious of it. He'll see a lot of minutes on the floor tonight in a game where we might see a number of points put up on the board. I think that's going to lend to plenty of opportunities for Draymond Green to get his teammates involved in the game, hence over 6.5 assists for Draymond Green tonight.
Yeah, lean for me would be on Utah here, minus the 7, haven't made the play. But what James says is correct about Draymond Green in terms of the fact that I think he's improved their defense a little bit, at least coming back, obviously trying to mentor Wiseman and Oubre and some of these young guys here. But to James's point, Jazz have won 7 straight, top 7 in the league, both offensively and defensively. The defense kind of took a step back last season, but has gotten back. We always know that the Jazz are going to play good defense, and when you have arguably the best post defender in the league in Rudy Gobert, that's going to beg the question that you're going to be pretty solid defensively. But the shooting, they lead the league in 3-point field goals made per game. They hit over 40%. They're actually leading the league overall in that category, and that's kind of always been the bugaboo for the Jazz. We know that they can defend. You know that they move the ball around and they play solid team ball, and they're actually very well coached by Quinn Snyder. He's kind of one of the more underappreciated NBA coaches, and that's a guy that got sideways, lost his job at Missouri, had to go down to the D League with, I believe, the Austin Toros, made his way back into head coaching here in the NBA. And he's one of the best, I think, in the league, and people ought to start paying attention to him as one of the better coaches. And they're just, this is the team I think that Utah has really envisioned, moving the ball well, playing team ball. This is what they envisioned when they brought in Michael Conley Jr. a year ago. So this has been a freight train at this point that I don't know that I want to get in front of. Golden State has been kind of that Jekyll Hyde team, is that they'll step up and really do well against a good team, like beating the Lakers in Staples on Martin Luther King Day. And then they'll have a terrible performance against a bad team like they had just recently. So very much a Jekyll and Hyde Warriors team. Like when they lose, they get blown out. And when they win close games. Lean to the Jazz here, laying the 7.
Lakers are 8-0 on the road this season. They're laying 10 at Chicago. They're coming off a win Thursday at Milwaukee. New Orleans laying 8 at Minnesota. The Dallas Mavericks have won 2 straight. They're laying 9 against Houston. A back-to-back doubleheader for the Denver Nuggets and Phoenix. Devin Booker questionable with a strained hamstring for Denver. They knocked off Phoenix at overtime. They're laying 2.5 today in Phoenix. Ohio State and Wisconsin of the Big Ten. Just over an hour from that one at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers have won 18 of 19 on their home floor. James Salinas, they're laying 5 against the Buckeyes.
Well, and I think you're going to see this. These are the battles that, at least for me, as somebody who likes kind of old school half court basketball in college, this is going to be an absolute slugfest between these teams. A lot of seniors on these teams. I look for these older teams in a sense too. You're talking about Wisconsin. Plenty of seniors to go around. That's what their starting lineup is made up of. Fifth year seniors as well. And then Ohio State, right? They will play through the post as well. I think both these teams, it's going to be a half-court slugfest. I'm looking towards the under. A lot of times in these games, I'll split it and more so play the first half under as opposed to laying the full unit on the game, just because if it does come down to a close game, you get a lot of free throws in this matchup. But, you know, Ohio State's kind of been a little up and down within the conference, especially coming off that tough buzzer-beater loss to Purdue the other night. So I think this is going to be a really tough matchup here going into Wisconsin, that you know they're going to make you work and earn everything you get on the offensive side. It's going to be a slow-paced kind of game. So right now, Wes, I lean towards the under with Wisconsin-Ohio State.
Yeah, that'd be the way I would lean, too. I think the number is actually kind of right. But just looking at the psyche of these two teams, and you mentioned it the other night, losing to Purdue. That was a game Purdue, and credit to Matt Painter and his guys. They absolutely stole that game on the road in Columbus the other night. Ohio State looked like they had that game not well in hand, but had it pretty much control for the entire duration and then let one slip away. So now you got to go on the road and arguably one of, if not the toughest place to win on the road in the Big Ten, that being the Kohl Center, which those of us that complain about the officiating like to call the Kohl Center up there in Madison, Wisconsin, is they let them guys clutch and grab a little bit on the cutters and the screeners. But that's the way Wisconsin plays, and they do it very effectively. Wisconsin seems like they've gotten the bad taste out of its mouth from that blowout game at Michigan with the 2 wins, a nice rebound on the road at Rutgers, and then a win against Northwestern at home. So I thought the price was about right here, but certainly a big game for both teams to kind of stay in that upper level of the Big Ten race.
Wisconsin laying 5.5. Some shops have it at 5 against Ohio State at the Kohl Center in Madison. Big Ten basketball, 3 yards and a cloud of dust. They're taking the Big Ten football philosophy to the basketball court. Well, that's going to do it for Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. For Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas, James Salinas in Denver, I'm Mike Sennett in Detroit. The Green Zone is coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.